Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. We will read verses 12 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read the first verse. You'll join me on the second. We'll alternate through the passage that way. Luke, chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And let's read verse 22 together. Ready? But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. God, what a wonderful thing it is to have a Savior that conquered death. Oh, if you wouldn't have gotten up out of that grave, you'd be no more a god than Buddha. No more a god than any other false gods that some of the world worship, but you conquered death. You got up out of that grave to prove you conquered the price of sin for us. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Lord, we're a needy people. There are a lot of heartaches in this room, a lot of burdens in this room, and there's no way that one man could carry that load, but the Holy Spirit could do it through our preacher. Please do your work today in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you came here today to be critical, then I suppose you'll figure out a way to get that done. If you came here today just to do your chore of coming to church on Easter Sunday, we'll get you out of here as quick as we can. But I want to teach you something today. I want to help you today. All right. That's fine. Thank you. The passage of Scripture that we read earlier is the story of the prodigal son. Now, the resurrection, when Jesus Christ came up out of that grave, he was helping to fix a way for man to get back to God. Man had fallen. Man was lost. Somebody had to make it so man could be saved. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected so lost man could be born again. But may I also tell you that when Jesus resurrected, he also made a way for saved man to live a victorious life. He made it so you could get born again if you were lost, and he made it so once you got saved, you could also be victorious after your salvation. Because you see, after we get saved, we still have to fight the devil. We still have to live in this world. We still have to go through a lot of things. We between here and eternity, there's some struggles that we're going to go through. The story that you see here today, it's about the prodigal son. I'm going to talk to you about that story. I want to teach you something about it. Many of you here today need this sermon desperately. You don't know it, but you need it. The prodigal son. Oh, most people have heard the story over and over again. The Bible says there was a man and he had two sons. His younger son said, Dad, I'm leaving home. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to get out of here. You give me the inheritance I have coming to me, This was the younger son, so I'll call him Junior today. That's the name I'll give him. He said, I'm leaving home. Dad said, all right, okay. I don't want you to leave home. I want you to stay right here where you're safe, right here where you ought to stay. This is your home. But Junior said, no, I'm doing it, Dad. I'm doing it. And the younger son took what money Dad would give him, and he took off, and he left his father. The Bible says he went to another area, some distant area from his home, and it says he began to waste all the money that his father had given him. He wasted it, as the Bible describes it, on riotous living. In other words, he was doing his own thing. He went out, he left Dad, he wanted to go live it up, wanted to have a good time, didn't want the rules of home, didn't want to be there in that home where it was safe. Well, you know, Dad had rules expecting to live a certain way and to do a certain thing, and there were guidelines and expectations on his life. He said, I don't want that anymore. I want to go do my own thing. I don't want someone to tell me how to live. Well, get out there and spending his money, having a good time. The only problem was, the Bible says that it started getting pretty tough on him. A famine hit the land. He had lost all of his money. It didn't take him long to spend up what God had or his father had given him. He didn't take care of himself. This famine had hit the land, and there was not enough food, and there were not enough jobs, and things were getting pretty tough. Well, he found him a job. Now remember, this kid named Junior, he's out there all on his own, and he's out of money. He's away from home. Things are going real tough in the land. He got him a job, though, and he was feeding the swine, the Bible says. In other words, maybe a hog farm. Got him a job. The Bible says his payment for his work was that he could eat the husks from the food that he was serving the hogs. Now, do you understand what the husk is on corn? He wasn't eating the corn. The husk is that green leaf that covers the outside of the corn that we tear off and throw in the trash. That's what he was eating. That is, if the hogs didn't eat it, he could have what was left over. The Bible says he found himself there at that pigsty, thinking, I have nothing to eat. Everything I have is gone. Things are falling apart around me. The Bible says that while he was there, he came to himself. It's the words the Bible uses. You know what that means? He brightened up. Suddenly he said, you know what? I could go back to my dad's house. I could go back home. Mom's probably making fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy right this second. Some big old cathead biscuits, pecan pie with ice cream. And he said, boy, I could be home right now. And I know my father, he'll let me come home. I know he will. He brushed himself off and he said, I'm going home. I'm going back to the Father's house. I'm going home. The Bible says probably it was the latter part of the day, just before the setting of the sun. The sun maybe was starting to go down, and this kid knew that, old Junior knew he had not too far to go. He's on his travels back. His clothes are dirty. His body's wore out. The old world had taken him for everything he's worth and more. He lost what little bit of pride that he had. He lost it all. He's on his way home. And he's approaching home. All of a sudden, he can see the lights of home. He can see that the sun's not all the way down, but he sees a silhouette of something. And he sees somebody running toward him. You know who it was? It's his daddy. Because the Bible says that his dad seen the sun coming afar off, which meant Dad wasn't in the backyard at that time splitting wood. Dad would go out every night, and Dad would say, boy, I hope my boy comes home today. Boy, I hope my boy comes home today. And that late afternoon, early evening, Daddy was out front on the porch, maybe had him a cup of coffee. He's looking over the horizon saying, boy, I hope today's the day that my boy comes home. Dad looked and he said, I wonder who that is. There's somebody coming up the road there. I know that walk. That's my boy. Dad said, honey, I got to go. I'll be right back. He took off running. As he took off running, he went running towards somebody coming up over the horizon. And let me tell you who it was, that boy. He noticed Daddy running, and they picked up the pace a little bit. And in just a moment, the Bible says that they joined arms. And they were together. And the boy said, Dad, I'm so sorry. I've messed up. And Dad, I should have listened to you, and I should have stayed home. I shouldn't have took off. I shouldn't have, and Dad, I'm so sorry. I don't even deserve to live here anymore, Dad. And I don't deserve to be a part of the house. And Dad, I just want you to know something. I'm sorry. And if you'll just take me in, I'll work like one of your servants, one of the hired hands. His Dad said, come on home, son. Went home, and he could smell that fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. He says, so good to be home. The Bible says his daddy kissed him, had compassion on him, and restored him. You see, this story that is told often, the story pictures a saved person wandering away from the Savior, wandering away from the church, getting away from their Heavenly Father. I got thinking about something one day. If I would have been the prodigal son's junior's pastor, probably he come back to Dad, he would have sat down with me and we would have talked for a little while, because Dad would have said, you know what, you need to go see the preacher and we're going to help you get reestablished in your home. Where was home? Coming back to God, coming back to church, coming back to the church. Dad said, why don't we get an appointment with the preacher? Why don't we sit down with him and let's see if we can rebuild your life, because you sure did mess up. You've been miserable. You see, the Bible talks about him. He left full. He had everything, at least he thought, when he left, and he came back empty. If you're here today and you've wandered away and you left your father's house, we've been waiting at sunset, just watching, hoping you'd come back. And if you were to come to my office, I'll tell you how the appointment would have gone. This is my office chair. It's one that sits behind my desk in the pastor's office. This globe of the world here, I often use it as I pray for people across the world. My office is decorated in eagles. This little stand in the eagle is part of the decor for my office. But this is my chair. I wanted to bring it out here today because I just wanted to talk to you for a little while. Matter of fact, step into my office. I have an appointment with someone. It's someone that has gotten away from the Lord. I'm going to see if I can help them. You can listen in. I'm going to call him Junior. Now you have to forgive me if you came to see me swing from the chandeliers today. I'm sorry. That may be tonight. I don't know. Junior. Come in, Junior. Have a seat there. Junior, let me ask you a question. First thing I want to check here, Junior, is let me ask you, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? You're not real sure? Well, Junior, let me ask you something. Can you go to a time and a place in your life when you realize you were a sinner, there's a penalty for your sin, and that you knew that Jesus died for you and was buried for you and resurrected for you, and then you turn to him and ask him to be your Savior, knowing that you could not save yourself, but he was a Savior. Junior, has there ever been a time in your life when you did that? You have? Well then, Junior, when I ask you the question, if you're saved, you should say yes. I realize that you've gotten away from the Lord, Junior, but the Bible teaches that once you get saved, you're saved. It's a forever thing. Junior, let me read a verse to you. Here in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Junior, right there it says that once you get saved, you're placed into the hand of God. And no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Now, Junior, are you a man? Are you of mankind? You are? You can't even pluck yourself out of the Father's hand, is what the Bible's teaching there. You're still saved, Junior. You thought you lost it all out there, didn't you? Why, no. When you got away from God and God's house, you didn't lose it all, Junior. You still have Jesus. You're still born again. You're still saved. Listen to this verse, Junior. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Junior, does that say they might be saved or shall be saved? Shall be, right. Does it say they could be saved or shall be saved? Shall be, right. You're saved. If you trusted Jesus 20 years ago, Junior, you're still saved today. I know you've gotten away from him, but you couldn't get so far away that he took your salvation away from you. He said he would not do that. Listen to this, Junior. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Here the Bible says, Junior, you didn't work to get your salvation, so you couldn't work to keep it. It says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." You got saved because you believed on Jesus Christ as Savior, not because you worked. And I know, Junior, you've not been doing what you're supposed to do, but you're still saved. Listen to this. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Junior, God's not an Indian giver. He didn't give you your salvation and take it away from you. Listen to this. 1 John 2:1. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." You see, you're saved. And if you have sinned, you're still saved because Jesus Christ has come between you and the Father and reminded the Father that his blood has already been applied to your account. And when he looks at you, he looks at the righteousness of Jesus. Yeah, you messed up, but you can't mess up bad enough to lose your salvation. Now, you got saved, right, Junior, back then? You did it? Yes, okay. Now, let me tell you something, Junior. I got good news for you today. I'm glad you came to my office. Because now that you've come home, and your daddy was so excited about you coming home, I just wanted you to know, Junior, you're still saved. Now, Junior, let me tell you something. We all do wrong some. All of us do wrong sometimes. Look, Junior, around here at our church, you know us here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we look down on sin. We don't look down on sinners. We're all sinners. Hey, listen, Junior, everybody in my church is a sinner. You know that. Well, I know how you felt. It's kind of hard to come home because you wondered how the people would act. And listen, I've let God down before, Junior. I'm the pastor. I'm not perfect. I'm just saved. I've let my family down too, Junior. I know how much you feel like you hurt Mom and Dad and some of your family, but we all do. I've let myself down before, Junior. You know what, Junior? I'll probably let you down someday, and you let some people down, but we're so glad you're back. We are so glad you're back. I know you made a mistake. I know you got away from God's house. I know you got away from where you're supposed to be, but we're just glad you're home. We're real glad you're home. Let me tell you something else, Junior. You know, many saved people in the Bible, they fell. They made some mistakes. They did some dumb things. You take the story. Junior, remember the story of David and Bathsheba? I mean, Bathsheba was married to a man by the name of Uriah. And David came home one day from battle and seen Bathsheba, another man's wife, sleeping. She was bathing on her housetop. She was naked up there. David saw it and he wanted her. David ended up having a relationship with her and she got pregnant. And then David had Uriah killed. That was Bathsheba's. You remember that story, Junior? Well, David messed up. But David was a man after God's own heart. Did you know? You remember Moses? Did you know that Moses killed a man one day? You know, see, you got to remember something here. Junior, a lot of people mess up. We're human beings. We're human beings. Think of Jonah. Do you know the reason Jonah ended up in the whale's belly? Is because Jonah was running from God. Sure, that's why he ended up in the pigsty. That's why your life's in the mess that it was in. And I know it's not straightened out yet because you just got home. You just got home. I know you're debating on whether to even stick around home. But we want you to, and I want you to know that many saved people in the Bible, they messed up too. You take Peter. Think of the Apostle Peter. He was following Jesus afar off on the way to the crucifixion, Junior. You remember what happened? Somebody walked up to Peter and said, "Hey, we know who you are. You're with Jesus." And Peter, the Apostle, he said, "I'm not with him." Junior, you probably denied Jesus at some point when you were out there, huh? Yeah, I know. I know how it is. You remember Peter, he also cussed. He denied and cussed, and he said, I don't know this Jesus, and he cursed. You probably said some things you shouldn't have said while you're out there, huh, Junior? Well, I just want you to know something. All the way through the Bible, there are people that were trying to serve God, that loved God, and they goofed up too. So, Junior, you're not alone, which I'm glad you're coming home. Glad you're coming back to the church here. Junior, I want to tell you something. God is a forgiving God. Yeah. God's a forgiving God, Junior. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're saved, now you just come back and you ask him to forgive you the sins that you've committed. That's what we all have to do. Had you been doing that on a daily basis, Junior, back then you might not have gotten so far away from God. You just need to ask him to forgive you. In Isaiah 55, verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hey, Junior, I get excited about this, because I tell you what, it says there, when you come back to God, he will abundantly pardon you. You say, well, oh, preacher, some of the things I've done, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even want anybody to know everything I've done. Well, Junior, you don't have to confess it to me. I'm just a human being. The only priest you have to confess it to is the high priest. That's Jesus Christ. And you say, I've gone so deep. I'm so far away from God, Brother Owens, and nobody really knows how far away I am. God knows how far away you are, Junior. And that verse there says, look at that, Junior. It says he will abundantly pardon. That's good news. Junior, guess what? God is a forgiving God. I'm so glad that you came back. I'm glad I got to meet with you. I'm glad I got to talk to you about this a little bit. A lot of people have fallen into sin. A lot of people have gotten away from God. They were saved, but they just didn't do all the things God wanted them to do. And they got their life in a fix, and they got their life in a mess. But hey, listen, Junior, God forgives. God forgive you. All you got to do is ask his forgiveness. Now you're going to have to admit you've been away. You need to admit you've not been in church here with us, Junior, like you're supposed to be. And you betrayed your family here some. You've not used a lot of wisdom. Hey, you're going to have to confess the fact that you're away from God. But I think you already know that. That's why you came. I mean, you came to see me. God will forgive you. I'll tell you this, Junior. Maybe it'll help you to know. But I'll forgive you. I'm the pastor here, Junior. I'll forgive you. You're welcome back here. As a pastor, I'm not going to hold your sins against you. What right would I have to do that? We're all a bunch of sinners. I know this, Junior. The previous pastor of this church, Dr. Smith, he'll forgive you. I know, Junior, sometimes people are afraid to come back to the church because they know they've disappointed the man of God. I'm just so thrilled you're back. We've wanted you to come back. Dr. Smith and I, we've been standing on the front porch as the sun would go down every night, just kind of watching, hoping you were on your way back. Don't be afraid to come back. We want you to come back. Now listen, Junior, I'm going to have to be honest with you. Most Christians will forgive you. Most. I'm embarrassed to have to tell you this, Junior. Every once in a while, there's some Christian, they don't forgive. And, Junior, don't let that keep you away from coming back. I've been kind of working on them, trying to get them to realize that if they're not careful, they're going to be the next one in a mess because they're so arrogant about their own, they think they're self-righteous. So, Junior, the truth is, most people, most Christians are going to forgive you. I wish I could promise you that everyone would behave themselves properly, and I wish they would. Some Christians are too immature to handle someone coming back to God. But most will. So, Junior, if you're coming back, and I think you are, I want you to know you're welcome back. And 99% of the church is going to just say, amen, hallelujah, we're glad you're back. Now, you might find one immature Christian that will stick their nose in the air and get snooty, and we'll just have to pray for them. Some may criticize you. You know, those ones that don't forgive well, they may get a little critical. And I'm sorry, That's not how I feel. That's not how the church staff feels. That's not how all the employees of the church and the Sunday school teachers. Hey, Junior, I got to tell you, I do have some people that are in the church that are not right with God. They may be the ones that will criticize you when you come back, but we're working on them, okay, buddy? I'm trying to help get them right with God, too. But don't let them being critical keep you from coming back to God. Now, Junior, you have to face something else. Because you got away from God, sometimes when we get away from God, we forfeit a few things. I mean, let's just face it. There are some things you might have been doing in the church right now that you're not, because you've been gone. A lot of people around here, Junior, just this last week, we recruited over 40 people to teach and work in our Sunday schools. Now, had you been around when you were supposed to, you probably would have been a part of that. But you're going to have to wait a while. You'll forfeit some of that. Listen to this, Junior. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Junior, God still has a will for your life. God still wants to use you. I know you've gotten away from Him. Now, you may not get the perfect will of God for your life. God says there's three levels of His will. He says there's perfect, there's acceptable, and there's good. But it's all the will of God. And that makes it all wonderful. Now, you may not be able to have everything that you once wanted because you got away from God. But don't let the devil lie to you that you've lost everything, because you have not. There are levels of service for people. And God wants you to serve Him. Hey, let me tell you this. You take, for instance, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. God used David again, but never again like He used David before the adultery. But He did use David. He did use David. And God wants to use you too. God still has a will for your life. But you may have forfeited a couple things. Now, you have to be mature enough to be able to accept that, you see. You have to accept that you messed up and you may have forfeited some unique, special little thing you could have done for God. But that's just the way the Bible teaches it, Junior. Your life does not have to be spent away from God or away from the church because you got away. Come back and let's get you. Hey, if you can't be in the ultimate perfect will of God, hey, let's get in the acceptable will of God or in the good will of God. But don't run from God forever. You're really messing it up if you do that. Let me explain it. You know what, David? Somebody that got caught embezzling out there, we probably won't let them take over the church finances when they come back to God. Just doesn't make sense. Some man that was a wife beater, I probably won't put him in charge of the ladies' ministry around here anytime soon. You see what I mean, Junior? I mean, you just have to be careful about things like that. I'll tell you something else. You're going to have to learn this. The confidence of Christians must be re-earned. It must be re-earned. Now, you'll have to just accept that about people. You won't get away from God and the church and go live your own life, come back and have everyone say, well, let's just give them all the duties they want in the church overnight. Junior, it just won't work that way. People won't trust you that quickly. You need to regain some confidence from people. And that's not unreasonable, Junior. I'm just glad you're coming back. But you need to be willing to re-earn the confidence of some people. See, when you hurt people, they heal slowly. But I think everybody will heal, Junior, if you'll give them a chance. Hey, listen, Junior. I mean, let's face it. You took off. You did what you wanted to do. You lived your life your own way. You're moving back in with Mom and Dad. Now, Mom and Dad may be a little skeptical and expect you to be in at a decent hour. Mom and Dad, when you're wanting to go somewhere, Dad's liable to say, wait a minute. I don't think that's a good idea. And you're going to think, well, I'm back. Yes, I realize that, Junior, but you're going to have to understand something. You've caused people to mistrust you a little bit. We're all human. And you may need to just prove that you mean business and you know, re-earn their confidence for a little while, Junior. That's what I'd recommend. Let me tell you something else. You may stumble again. You may. Anybody that's ever been away from God knows that the journey back's not always real easy. We get all excited one day and say, I'm coming back to God. And the next day we make a boo-boo. And if the devil's there when we trip, The devil says, ah, there you go. You didn't mean it. Stay down. But Junior, don't you let the devil convince you. Everybody stumbles some on the way back. And so if you stumble coming back, I've got good news for you. Listen to this verse. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hey, don't you let the devil keep you down. If you want to come back to God, you may stumble a little bit on the way back. We knew you weren't perfect when you joined the first time. We know you're not perfect coming back. You just keep on coming, even if you stumble, Junior. Don't quit now that you decided to come back to God. Just get up and try again. That's how we all have to do it. But I don't want you to fall again. I mean, you're home. And you said you want to start serving God with your life again. You want to get your life straightened out. But Junior, listen, I don't want you to sin again. But let me just warn you, because I work with people all the time. It's easy to say I'm coming back. It's work to come back. Because if it were easy, everybody would be back. But because it's hard, not everybody comes back to God when they get away. And so Junior, I just want you to know, if you stumble on your way back, Brother Owen's going to be there. We'll pick you up and get you started. You just keep heading the right direction. That's what we need you to do. I'm just glad you're home, Junior. When your dad called me and told me that we're going to meet for a little while and that you'd come home, oh, Junior, I've caught your mama's tears. She's come to my office after church and cried. I said, preacher, is my boy going to make it? Am I going to be okay? And I kept telling her, I think he'll come back. I think he'll come back. We often prayed for people that had gotten away from the church in our prayer meeting on Saturday mornings, and God's been answering the prayers, but we're sure glad that you're back, Junior. Now, let me tell you a couple things you ought to do, Junior. You need to be in church. Oh, you need to be in church. It was church that you got away from, and that's why you got so far away from God. You need to be in church. You need to get into church and get into the church activities. You need them. You're welcome. You say, I feel a little uncomfortable. No, that's okay. You're saved. This is your church. Whether you've been here in 10 years or not, that doesn't matter to us. This is your church. You come. We want you here. We want you to be a part. It'll strengthen you. Being in church will strengthen you. Oh, we're having some exciting times. Hey, Junior, on Wednesday nights I'm teaching on the subject of prayer. We're really learning how to pray. Oh, Junior, listen, tonight at church I'm teaching on the family, and boy, your family's been through a lot. Won't you come tonight and let me help you through some things that your family are struggling with? And just by you showing up is going to show some people you mean business. You'll regain the confidence of the people quicker the more they see you, and the only way they can see you is if you're here. Junior, you need to get into your Sunday school class. You and Brother Shiflett Sunday school class? Is that right? Oh, man, what a great crowd they had in there today. You need to get in Sunday school. And listen, we're having a mother-daughter banquet here before long. Get your mama some flowers and encourage her about going to that banquet. And Junior, you just need to get involved now. You want to come back, you got to get involved, Junior. There's no preacher in his right mind, Junior, that wouldn't tell you the only way you can be right with God is show up in church. I'll tell you what else, Junior. Expect yourself to grow. Expect yourself to grow. Require yourself to grow. It's going to hurt a little bit. There's some things you need to change about yourself, Junior. You're messed up. You're away from God. And you've not been in church in a long time. You've not been around the things of God in a long time. You need to expect some things out of yourself. I mean, Junior, you've changed. I can tell by looking at you. You've changed. And you weren't where you were supposed to be when you left, Junior. Matter of fact, you'd never finished growing. You have some catching up to do, Junior. So expect yourself to grow. Expect some growing pains. There's a lot to be learned, Junior. Oh, there's so much to be learned about the Christian life. I mean, Junior, you ever watch that, there's a game show on television. Junior, do you know what every blonde's dream is? Every blonde dreams of this. What? To become like Vanna White and learn the alphabet. There's a lot to be learned on every level. You got to learn, Junior. Hey, there's some things you should have been learning all along that you haven't been, and you're going to feel like you've been left behind a little, but I'll promise you this. I'll keep catching you up. If you show up, I'll help to catch you up. You need to get a bunch of preaching tapes. That's what you need to do. You need to go back, and Junior, out there in the auditorium, there's a little blue book on the back table, and you can order the preaching tapes. You get them, and you listen to them, and you start doing some catching up. Junior, I preached a sermon called How to Grow. Should have been here. You should have heard the sermon on how to grow, because I taught someone that how to grow in the Lord. Now, you didn't hear it, and you need it. You need my sermon on bitterness. I taught people what causes bitterness. Somebody hurts them and they put up a wall, and before long they're hateful. They hate the preacher. They hate the church. They hate everybody. They're bitter. You need to listen to that, because it would help you over your struggle. You need my sermon. I preached a sermon on forgiveness. Junior, if you're not careful, somebody's hurt you, you won't forgive them, and you'll ruin yourself. I got a sermon that I preached on Wednesday night, Junior. It's called Pray About Your Desires. I promise you, it'll revolutionize your prayer life if you heard it. Help you to know how you could stay away from temptation, because most of us don't have the power to say no to temptation. It teaches you what keeps you from temptation, because it is temptation that leads to sin. I preached a sermon one Sunday morning called Man-Made Hell. Junior, you've been living in it. There are people that sit in the congregation, Junior. They're living in their own made hell. They're miserable. I mean, flat out miserable. They're miserable with themselves, their marriage. They have created an on-earth hell. And I preached a whole sermon that showed how that happens and how to get out of the man-made hell. I preached a sermon called I'm Glad Are You. You should have been here. We had so much fun. I preached a sermon called Tears. I watched your mama weep all the way through it. See, Junior, you need to get all the preaching you can, because you probably haven't been. You got some making up to do. I'll tell you what else. Be careful going too fast now. Sometimes people get right with God and they say, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read my Bible 4 hours a day. Yeah. We get all energetic. Took us 4 hours just to find it. I just read it some every day. I'm going to pray 24 hours a day and go tell people about Jesus 24 hours a day and read my Bible 24 hours a day. I'm for all that, Junior, but could I advise you as a pastor? Maybe I'll just come on. But don't get in such a big hurry that you disappoint yourself, because you may stumble. You're going to need to read your Bible every day. My recommendation is, and by the way, Junior, have you been reading your Bible every day? You haven't? That's probably why you're away from the church. You're going to need to pray every day. Have you been praying every day, Junior? I'm not just talking about over your corn husks. You've been praying every day? You haven't? There it is. That's probably why you got away. You've been telling others about Jesus Christ? I mean, actually soul winning. Telling them the plan of salvation. You haven't? Then you're going to need to do those things, Junior. That's why you got away. That's why you were never close in the first place. Nobody ever leaves a church that stays in their Bible and on their knees, ever. Nobody gets away from God that stays close to God. How do you stay close to God? Well, you stay on your knees. You stay in your Bible. Junior, I got good news for you. The Holy Spirit of God, when you got saved, was sealed inside you. He's there right now. You may be thinking, Brother Owens, I do okay if I'm here with you or I'm with my Sunday school teacher, but when I get away from here, that's when I struggle. Guess what? You don't go away from here alone. Because living within you is the Holy Spirit of God. He is sealed there until the day of redemption. Listen to this verse, Junior. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved in you. He is sealed in there. Now you have the Spirit of God to help you be victorious, Junior, as a Christian. See, you didn't lose your salvation. When David fell away from God, Junior, this is neat. When David fell away from God, you go to I think it's the 51st Psalm. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, David didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. And living within you is the Holy Spirit of God. If you truly got born again back yonder, you have the Spirit of God living in you, so you have everything that it takes to come back to God if you want to. Now, if you don't want to, you can ignore it and stay away. But, Junior, you came home. What brought you home, Junior? What brought you back to your church? What brought you back to your daddy? When you were feeding those pigs, the Bible says you came to yourself, Junior. What that means is the Holy Spirit of God inside you said, you need to get home. You get on back there where you belong. You get on back to God. That's why you came back, Junior. I appreciate you coming and seeing me. Your daddy prompted this meeting, and I know that. I'm glad you're here. I wish you'd let me help you because I want to. Now, Junior, I have to tell you something. Something you'll have to do, one of the hardest things you'll probably do, and that's you're going to have to get away from the wrong crowd. Now, Junior, you met some people out there, and you've been spending time with people. They're negative. They're the wrong kind of people. And those people, they'll hold you back and hold you down. So, Junior, one thing I got to recommend is that you get away from, number one, the lost people. Number two, the saved people that don't live for God. And so, Junior, you've been running with, you know what? There's some other people that left. You want to be careful now. If they got a negative, bad attitude, you're going to want to be real careful because they'll hold your attitude down. Usually, negative people run in packs. So, Junior, what you're going to have to be careful of is that you stay away from the negative, the critical, because they'll keep you from coming back like you say you want to come back. Junior, what I'm going to do is I'd like to meet with you on a regular basis if you'd like. You and I'll meet, help you get back on your feet. When you stumble, I'll help you up. I'll help you. Hey, if somebody criticizes you, I'll help you with that. Believe me, happens to me all the time. I can help you with it. But I'm glad you're back. Thanks for coming back. Hey, Junior, this Sunday's Easter. Won't you just show up in church? I know people haven't seen you in a while, but that's okay. We love you. We want to help you. Come on home. Your father really loves you. Come on home. Let me pray with you, Junior, and then you'll go on your way. Father, bless Junior, please. Help him to do right. Help him to know the devil doesn't want him to do right. Thanks for saving him years ago. The devil's tricked him. He slid away. He's not where he's supposed to be, but help him to come back. In Jesus' name, amen. Junior, listen, buddy. I'll be around. Let's get another appointment. We'll talk again. The prodigal son got away. His father was waiting for him to come home. And I think when he got home, he probably met with the preacher, and the preacher said, okay, Junior, let me help you. I can show you how to come all the way back, get your life back in order. If you've listened to me today, I've showed you too. I've showed you. Now, the Father's waiting. Now, see, if you've never been saved, you're not backslidden. You're just not born again. There has to be a time in your life when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That means you realize you're a sinner and a bad one. You realize there's a penalty for your sin, that is death in hell for all eternity, separated from God. You realize that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You couldn't pay the debt yourself. He paid it for you. And then you turned to him and you said, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus made it so I don't have to go to hell. He died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. I'm turning to him. I'm trusting him as my Savior. I'll ask him to forgive me of the sin of having rejected him all this time. Ask him to come in my heart and save me. And on that day, you get born again. If you've never done that, you're not away from the Father by being a backslidden Christian. You've never become a Christian. You've never gotten saved. So you have to get saved first. And if you're not, guess what? The Father's waiting for you too. He's ready to save you. You can be sure you're on your way to heaven, just like that. If you are saved, and you've gotten away from the Father. If you say, well, Brother Lindsay, you know, a lot of those things you just talked about, I've been afraid of what people might think, I've not been reading my Bible, I don't pray, I don't go to church, all those things, I felt like you were talking to me. No, I'm sorry. I was talking to Junior in the story of the prodigal son. That's who I was talking to. Now, I don't know who the Holy Spirit was talking to. I know who I was talking to. And I say to you, just like I'm sure Father said to the prodigal son, go on home. Come on home. Your Father loves you. And nobody expects you to be an overnight flaming evangelist of success. Just come on. We'll help you. We're all still growing ourselves. If you're not saved, I recommend the Savior to you. I recommend you get in a church that will love you and grow you and help you when you fall to get back on your feet, because that's part of the job of the church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.